Is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, thanks for being here as we cover a lot of interesting things around the Umpqua Valley and beyond, a lot of different topics, and that includes checking in with political races, the legislature, things like that. And we're going to have our second conversation with Republican candidate for governor, Daniel Bethu, who's on. She's a two-term Marion County Commissioner, small business owner. Danielle, thanks for being on today.
Yeah, so thanks for having me on. It's great. I'm excited to have a second conversation with you.
So you announced your campaign a while back. What is the response you've gotten so far?
Yeah, so we got on the campaign trail early, about April this year, and it's been really positive. Lots of Oregonians across this state are hungry for real solutions, authenticity, and transparency. So it's bringing me into a lot of communities where I get to have that opportunity to make connections, and I'm feeling good about it.
And as you, you started early, it's going to be a long race. Part of that, I imagine, is because while you're probably very well known as a county commissioner in Marion County, folks in other parts of the state, you're a new name and they're not familiar with you.
That's right. Yep. So I got to get down there into the grassroots space of all 36 counties and build those relationships so folks know who I am and what I can do.
How much of the state have you been able to cover so far?
We have been in 11 of the 36 counties this year.
And I imagine you're going to keep ramping up as we go along here into next year?
Oh, yeah. We have plans to be down on the South Coast in a couple of weeks. We were just down, actually, in your neck of the woods a couple of weeks ago, just past you and Josephine and Jackson counties, and then we'll head over east after the first of the year, spend some time in the Northeast, and then the mid section of the east side of the state, and then the south.
Now, Marion County Commissioner, you've been doing that for a while. You and your husband have a small business as well. Your background, as I recall from the last time we talked, is pretty unique. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I was born in Eugene, and my parents were married, and then they divorced when I was real young. My mom suffered from a severe and persistent mental illness and navigated through some addiction while I was growing up. And it took me in and out of some interesting spaces up along the I-5 corridor, experienced some bouts of homelessness. And then my mom went to Washington when I was about 16 for a powwow and didn't come back. And so I had the opportunity to navigate the second half of high school on my own and really, I guess, stand on my own 2 feet early.
What does that add to your experience that you think would be helpful in leading a state?
Well, I think what it does do is that it gives me a perspective of the challenges and the opportunities that exist in each one of us and how the systems of government can be helpful or hurtful. It's my perspective that government is supposed to be the safety net system, if we're specifically talking in the human service space, so mental health and addiction, to help people, you know, with a hand up and not a handout. In other systems, it's just making sure that the communities are safe and functional and provide real livable opportunities for people to thrive. For me, I'm an individual that believes in personal responsibility and accountability, and we're not born knowing everything. And we don't have real good systems in Oregon right now that help people live successfully within an affordable system of the economy or access healthcare or good education or thrive in small business because of the overreaching systems at the state level that have been run for far too long under the Democrat rule.
Now, what caused you to seek the office of governor?
Yeah, so I excelled pretty quickly once I became a county commissioner statewide amongst my peers into leadership systems. I became the Association of Oregon Counties president over a three-year period in 2024, took that seat, and was able to really spend a lot of time in each county in Oregon, get to know my peers and the challenges that they deal with every single day. And in 2024, I was I was successful in navigating folks to the table to recriminalize drugs in Oregon in partnership with the legislature, the Sheriff's Association, and our District Attorney's Association. And through that process, folks that sat around that table and other tables with me felt that I have a unique willingness to want to sit down with anyone and have a hard conversation and then work towards a collaborative outcome. And some folks suggested the idea that it might be worth somebody who's an executive of government who has a systems-wide knowledge take on the governor's office from a different perspective. I'm not a policymaker or a legislator. I'm an actual executive that makes real-life decisions in government every day. And after exploring what that might look like on the landscape of Oregon and talking to county commissioners across the state, my family and I made the decision in late 2024 to go for it.
Now, before you were a county commissioner, were you involved politically?
Yeah, I ran and sat on the Salem-Keizer School Board for 3.5 years. And while I was on that school board, I ran a chamber of commerce.
And where was that?
In Keizer.
So you've got that kind of a background. Do you feel like that gives you kind of a leg up in terms of knowing how what the needs of the business community are?
It definitely gives me the opportunity to be able to sit down at the table and talk the same language, if you will. I understand from all scales of business the challenges that they're facing in Oregon with overregulation. And pick an industry, there's some kind of a challenge. And then when I brought that knowledge into the government in Marion County, being able to bridge the gap of small business owners in the community trying to succeed to the conversation with bureaucrats who are just trying to do their jobs in government and meet in the middle to create real good outcomes.
Now, I didn't get a chance to look today, but a few weeks ago when I checked, we already had 11 people running for governor between all the parties and non-affiliated. For the GOP primary, you're facing probably one, maybe two other serious candidates, and maybe more. Do you feel like this is going to become a crowded race, even in the primary?
Yeah, I do think it'll be a little crowded. I don't think it'll be as crowded as it was in 2022, but I definitely think that we're going to have to lean hard on Oregonians to do their work and to show up in the space and learn about the candidates and then work together to find the best one that can beat a Democrat in November.
And, of course, I think last time between the two major parties, the other candidates, I think we had 28 people running for governor. Most people only knew who about 24 of them were. But, I mean, it does makes for a lot of work trying to run a campaign and get connected with people when there are so many voices out there clamoring for attention as well.
Yeah, that's right. It's a pretty noisy space just in a political space, but just in the human space. I find myself, you know, going to breakfast at the local restaurant here and can hear the conversations and people are overwhelmed by a lot of it. But what it for me says is that there's a lot of desire for change in Oregon. And we have a lot of qualified people who are stepping forward to try to be the leader of this state. And that should resonate, in my opinion, with Oregonians, that we're done just sitting down and being complacent with the political structure and systems. And we have to work hard. We have to show up in May and in November and vote so that way we can make that change.
Do you see any potential for the incumbent governor not to run for a second term?
Yeah, I don't know what she's got going on. There's quite a few rumors on the landscape as to what she may or may not be doing. I do know she's actively fundraising. So I know she has something in mind for her future, whether that's her officially running for governor or if that's her, you know, trying to take on a congressional Senate seat. She's not calling me actively sharing her plans for sure.
Going to take a break. Back with more in a moment. Danielle Bethel, Republican candidate for governor. We'll get that right. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. 1245 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson coming at 1. Tomorrow, a special two-part Inside Douglas County as we get ready for the holiday. We are going to have Scott Kelly from the Umpqua Valley Wine Growers Association. He's on the board there, and we'll talk about the Winesgiving promotion that area vineyards and tasting rooms are doing. Also, Martin Follacy of Umpqua Actors Community Theater will be on to talk about their upcoming Christmas production beginning in just a few days. Daniel Bethel, Republican candidate for governor, current Marion County Commissioner, is on with us right now. What are some of the main things you've learned as a county commissioner that you think would help you as governor of Oregon?
Well, I can tell you the primary thing that I've learned is that there's zero relationship between the state and counties and the state, counties, and cities, which is a fundamental issue, I think, when you have a structure of government that's designed to be a partnership. The fact that we have a governor, and not just this governor, but the last governor, who really operated in a space of more of like a dictator than a partner, has caused a significant number of problems for local governments and communities. Each government system is designed a little bit differently, and the state essentially is supposed to be the system that receives the money from the legislature and federal investments, and then works collaboratively with the local governments to produce outcomes, whether that's infrastructure development or human services type work. And we just don't have a collaborative system today. Hasn't been that case for some time, probably 2 or 3 decades. And that is a huge problem. We're all just kind of siloed into our own space, trying to figure out on our own, and that becomes exhausting and challenging, and it's causing a lot of problems, specifically for rural and frontier counties across Oregon.
If you were elected governor, what kind of relationship would you try to have with members of the legislature?
Well, I think it's a key role for the governor to have a relationship with all 90 individuals in the Oregon legislature, understanding exactly why they came into office and what their hope for outcome is for their specific district, and then building a real partnership with real true transparency on how to be effective together. I think that's one of the components that's missing in our leadership today, is we don't really know why people come into office. But, you know, campaigns are not the same as doing the work. And it feels like a lot of folks that run for the legislature are there for a unique personal agenda. And that's causing fundamental failures in our systems across the state.
What would you have for the budget priorities for Oregon if you were leading the state?
Well, I tell you, I'm going to take a real hard look at all the agencies at the state level to determine where they're spending Oregonians' money today. We need to make sure that we have proper public safety and livability standards that are implemented through local communities. One of the examples that I would use that I think a lot of Oregonians don't have a real keen understanding of is community corrections. The state houses all the funds for community corrections, and they're supposed to partner with counties to make sure that those that have committed crimes are, you know, one, held accountable, and then two, when they reenter into the community, can do so in a way that is successful. It's been a consistent problem in Oregon where the legislature just continues to defund the community corrections system of care, which means there's less supervision, less programming, less reentry and stabilization across the state, which means there's higher recidivism, more people continuing to create and cause harm, and a considerable cost burden on Oregonians and taxpayers.
How would you deal with
another system that needs?
Oh, go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead. I would just say the second system that I think really needs to take a hard look at is education. You know, we have a lot of money being spent across the state in K-12 public education with obviously very abysmal outcomes, and we're not getting what we're investing, and that needs to be re-guided entirely.
What about the Oregon Department of Transportation? What would you do differently as opposed to the transportation package solution?
Well, first of all, I would never force a tax on Oregonians without their input, which is exactly what happened this year. The second thing that I would do very differently is making sure that the Oregon Department of Transportation has a real active and effective relationship with those local jurisdictions I talked about before. Every single county in Oregon is also the road authority in their jurisdiction, and they, by and large, have more road miles than the state has collectively to maintain. Counties are forced to work within their budgets. The state should have to work within their budget. And they should have to prioritize and stick to those priorities and not leapfrog project after project and just add more and more and more and expect Oregonians to open their checkbooks and just produce some dream that the Democrats have come up with.
And what about being a business person, having a background in that area? What would you do to make Oregon more business friendly?
Well, first of all, I would go through and remove a lot of the regulations that exist. We have this really unfortunate system that just, it's like people sit in a building somewhere and they conjure up some idea and they write it down on paper and then they try to apply it to businesses. But we don't actually have anybody with real business background or business sense running the economy structure of Oregon. The agency in the state that's supposed to do that work is called Business Oregon, and it has turned into essentially a grant-based organization that the legislature writes a check to, and then they just spend taxpayer dollars. Instead of it being an economic driving entity that has real collaborative partnerships with industry and small business across the state, it's a siloed thing, and everybody's out on their own trying to survive. I want to bring that in, and I want to make sure that we're having real thoughtful conversations with the different types of industry in this state, small businesses, and reinvigorate that engine. We have a lot of opportunity and possibility for growth and stabilization, but we have to have real hard conversations about why people are not succeeding and what exists in that space. It's not just you go to the Secretary of State today and pay for a name licensing fee. Depending on your industry, you're paying for different types of certifications and permits across the gamut of natural resource industries, aggregate industries. And it's such a cost burden that it's almost impossible for them to survive. And we have just too much regulation, just period, too much regulation.
How would you work with the federal level of government, especially with all the things that have been shifting in the last year or so?
Well, first, I would want to have a relationship with the federal government. I think it's an unfortunate situation where the governor of Oregon and our attorney general, for that matter, well, heck, the secretary of state, they all just keep poking the bear. They keep getting into these legal wars with the federal administration, and it's causing significant harm for individuals in our communities. We need to have just a real awareness that the president of the United States was elected by the citizens of the United States, and he is there to do the job he said he was going to do during his election. It is not the governor's job to light the state on fire because she doesn't like that guy or she doesn't like what he stands for. She represents more than herself and her party in this state, and she is doing a terrible, terrible job of having any kind of a relationship. And because of that, people are suffering.
What about veterans? What would you do in terms of state services to help them?
Well, first, you know, I would like to see more services spread out across the state. A few months ago, it might have been around the time you and I had our first conversation, I had visited Curry County, which is the county in Oregon that has the largest percentage of veterans in Oregon. 52% of the population in Curry County are veterans. And those individuals have no resources available to them in their county, nor the neighboring county next to them on either side. The Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs needs to do real work and needs to do a real assessment as to what the investment should be to honor those that have served our country so we could all live within this freedom space. I know that they're challenged financially. In fact, just last week during the legislative days, I watched the testimony of the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs director sit in front of the Ways and Means Committee where they told her she needs to cut her budget more. And she has to figure out how to do that. And the only way they can see doing that is to cutting it from local services in the community. That is not the right way to do it. We need to make sure that our veteran service organizations are robust and available at any time for veterans, and they need to be more accessible in our communities. I want to see more of those hubs expanded. Technically, that's supposed to be in a partnership with the counties, but counties can't shoulder the cost of government state-level services.
All right, out of time for now. We'll talk again soon. Daniel Bethel, Republican candidate for governor. Thanks for being on.
Thanks so much. Have a great day, and happy Thanksgiving.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listen. listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.